What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jonathan Kuminga has proven when he plays at least 30 minutes a game, he's a productive NBA player.
Yeah.
He just is. Now, can he help you win? We just haven't seen him yet. He's 22 years old. He hasn't really been given that opportunity. But here's the deal with JK.
He has the deal with JK. But now, okay, now's your opportunity.
Yeah, no, well, I think they were trending that way before he injured his ankle.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the problem with JK. This is crazy. So he had the back-to-back game where he scored 34 points. Remember that? He scored 34 against the Clippers, and I think he scored 34 against Houston. Career highs or whatever. But Steve Curry and every Draymond went up. Draymond came off the bench in his first game back a couple weeks ago. I forget the exact game. But basically, they all said, this is Kuminga's time. We need to maximize Jonathan Kuminga. And he was in the starting lineup. And literally a couple days later, he was back to being a reserve. And it was like, wait a minute. I thought you guys were just talking about maximizing Kuminga. Now he's not in the first five. He's not starting. And now his minutes are fluctuating again. What's going on here? So the inconsistencies with the youngsters, not just Kuminga, but Jordan Poole at times. Moses Moody. Like, I look at Moses Moody. At least Kuminga's at least playing. Moses Moody has no idea if he's going to rack up a DNP or play 15 minutes. And I still don't know in year four, when you give Moses Moody a 3-year, $39 million extension. Now, I get that because it's a team-friendly deal in case you want to flip him. But I don't even know what I'm flipping. You know, I'm seeing Lindy Waters III, God bless his soul, he's starting at the two sometimes. Brandon Podziemski's starting at the two. Dennis Schroeder is starting at the two, and it's looked ugly for Dennis Schroeder.
GP2
is starting. For a week, let me see Moses Moody next to Steph and play 30 minutes. Just so I can, they know a lot more than us. I get it. Shoot around, whatever scrimmages, if they do it. And I know at times Moses Moody doesn't look the most athletic when it comes to lateral movement, but I still want to see it, right? If we're going to commit to the youngsters and say, hey, this is a young man's game, why not play one of your young men when you're looking for a two guard right now?
So you're hitting the nail on the head. And I hate to be this guy, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
And I've just come to the conclusion, if you have Steve, and Draymond as your trio, it's almost impossible for them to do any of the things we're suggesting.
Yep.
They're stuck in their ways, dude. Like, and I've come to accept that.
So I got a question before we get there.
But here's the part that I've had a difficulty accepting, and I want to make this clear. You got rid of all these other guys, Clay being one of them, because you were trying to chase wins, and now it's about the swan song?
Yeah.
To me, it's illogical. These things are not congruent.
You know,
I keep coming back to Clay.
I got to ask this question.
Part of why they, again, there's many reasons, but part of why they moved off him is they thought they could do better. And they're hanging on to Draymond. Why? I know we can do better.
So here's my question. If you still believe Steph is a top 10 player, and I still believe he's a top 10, top 15 player, should they be going all in for Steph? Should they be doing everything in their power to try to build a rim around Steph right now and going all in? And what does that look like? Because you're not going to get another Steph Curry anytime soon. Who knows? When Steph Curry walks away and retires and walks into the sunset, who the hell knows what it's going to look like? Who knows? It could be the Bulls. It could be the Lakers plus Kobe. Who the hell knows what's going on? But should you do that? Let's go to Antoine in Nashville. He's been on hold for a while.
Hey, Antoine.
Thanks for the patience, brother. Thanks for joining us here on the Morning Rust.
No problem, guys. It's good to hear from you guys again this morning. Yeah. And I'll be honest, you guys kind of that's a thought I've had for a while now. The one you just mentioned about what it looks like when Steph leaves. You know, Steph is a generational player, so you just don't know. But the one kind of point I wanted to get into this morning was, you know, given how they sounded, it wasn't like they were just giving up complete hope. And when you listen to the sound bites multiple times and kind of break down what Steph was saying, he's basically saying, you know, those trades where you're going to trade in all the first round draft picks, a couple second rounds, and like three of the players for one person, that's just illogical to do at this point. Most of the time, that's detrimental to a team, no matter where you're at, you know, unless you just have so many assets that you can do that. But the Warriors are not in that situation. So, you know, if the front office sees a situation that's going to be beneficial, then sure. You know, I think a lot of lateral moves, you definitely need a big man for sure. You know, whether that's Vucevic or something of that sort, you know, the ideal is Miles Turner, but he may not be available. So you may have to go with a Vucevic or whatnot. And as long as we get Jonathan Kuminga back healthy, I think you have some hope there. But like the Jimmy Butler trade and stuff like that, it's just illogical to do. You probably give up so much just to bring him in, and there's no telling that he's going to work out. We see how Paul George kind of situation kind of worked out. It wasn't going to be good either. And then the only one I kind of look at is like, you know, last year they were saying Lauri Markkanen for what was it, for Podziemski. And I was like, well, Podziemski's like not an option. But why? Because, I mean, if you look at it from the start of this season.
Real quick, Antoine.
Real quick, Antoine.
I don't believe that was the case at all.
Podziemski was the deal breaker.
Yeah, no. Not, as a matter of fact, I could almost guarantee that wasn't the deal. I know a lot of people like to run with it. Like, oh, Podziemski was untouchable. Danny Ainge, Antoine, wanted every pick in the world for the next 5 years. Like, he wanted to rob the Warriors of all their picks plus those players, and the Warriors couldn't do that. Not for Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, not for him. Not for him. No. I agree. If that was the case, then absolutely not. Like, you can't give all the picks up, everything we got just for him. He's not even like a dominant big in that instance there. And if we would have got him, he wouldn't have made this team just astronomically better either. So, I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, we looked at the beginning of the season this year, and we knew that the Warriors, we all went into the season wondering, like, what is this roster they have? Like, we were questioning it, and they just surprised us with the 12-3 run, you know. And then now this coming home to roost, like, you know, the teams are now more serious. The guys are actually really competing for their seed and their teams or whatnot. And every night is a full on battle, and we don't have the guys that can just battle like that every night.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we get Kuminga back healthy, maybe we make a move. Maybe I'm hoping they get Vucevic. I'm really hoping they do at least something. If you do nothing, then you're gonna lose a lot of hope and a lot of Warrior fans, because just sitting here with this team and you're getting smoked by the Toronto Raptors.
It's just,
I mean, come on, man. You know, so hopefully they make a marginal move to get somebody in here. And then maybe in the off season we can start exploring some other options. I'm going to throw this out there. I like Zion for what the risk and reward aspect. I hate the weight on him.
Right.
But if you can get somebody like him maybe in the off season, not give up Kuminga. Yeah. If we don't give up Kuminga, I wouldn't mind sending him to, you know, 1-2 punch.
No doubt. Good call, Antoine. Yeah. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Spinotti threw it at me. Would you trade Draymond for Zion? I'm like, dude, relax for a second. Zion's not even on the floor. But I don't care who it is. If I could keep Kuminga, I'm open-minded to the Zion thing, because I go back to what Lacob and Goober have said the whole time about this organization. We're not just a sports team. We're in the entertainment business as well. And if you're going to be mediocre and you're going to be around 500, well, you best be entertaining, right? And Steph Curry used the word stale the other day. And at times your offense looks stale. The style of play looks stale. You want to entertain some people, the illusion of Zion Williamson bending rims, a lot of people would be entertained by that. So I've become open-minded to it.
You know, Pete, I keep coming back to, like, how did we get here? And I know Steve Kerr's like, you know, it's nobody's fault.
I'm going to break that down on the other side, how we got here. I want to break that down.
What if I told you this? Forget the punch and all that crap.
It goes back deeper than that.
No, but what if I told you the single one that just eats at me? You traded, even if you didn't like him, the Jordan Poole contract, $30 million, which was an asset, a young player, okay, who was, if we just said Jordan Poole, 888-957, people would be calling all day.
Right.
They hate him. They love him. They think he stinks. They think he's great. Yep. Like, he was very polarizing, very popular, too, at Chase Center.
Very popular.
They attached a first-round pick, a bunch of other players, a second-round pick, got back 40-year-old Chris Paul, and just let that money vanish into the abyss. It's one of the worst trades, and this organization has some horrible trades on its track.
It was a bad trade, but I will say it kept them out of the CBA, and that first and second apron. So now you're not paying tax. We got to admit that. They needed to get under the money. I'll give them a benefit of the doubt, but your point about trading Jordan Poole, I didn't want to trade Jordan Poole.
For like, asset allocation.
Everybody ripped Jordan Poole, right? His last year with the Warriors, he gave you 20 points a game. He shot 87% from the free throw line. Okay, the 33.5% from three, not good. He was out of sorts, 43% from the floor. I get his defense was bad. But on a team where you need bucket getters, again, I just read you these offensive numbers. I know Jordan Poole's a damn good offensive player. He is. But we're going to get to the calls on the other side. You are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ, FM, and AC1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. I want to get into how the Warriors got here. Then we're going to get the Rodgers, Santa Rosa. We'll get the Richie Rich. We got Robinson, Bruno. We got Ryan. I want to get to everybody here. But how did we get here, Dub Nation? How did we get here to the point where Steve, Steph, and Draymond are saying, you know what? Let's not make an irrational deal. It is what it is here. Let's just ride this out. Because I know a lot of people are feeling some type of way about these quotes. But how did we get here? How did we get to this point? I want to assess that on the other side, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
He was not a great president.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Monte.
3 for 3 today, Steve. 3 for 3 today. I'm shooting 1,000%.
Hopefully, I can shoot hitter of all time.
And hopefully, I can shoot 1,000 at the 95-70 game knockout tournament. I'm trying to advance past the Final Four. I'm trying to make the Final Two. I'm trying to win the trophy, folks. Win a chance to shoot some hoops on the floor at Chase Center. That's going to come up January 27th. It will qualify people for 3 weeks, so you'll have plenty of chances to win. All right, 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance to win a spot in the 95-70 game knockout tournament, the second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament at Chase Center. Again, each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. So you'll have plenty of opportunities to try to get your game on at Chase Center, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. So 18, California resident. January 27th, you have 3 chances each day for 3 weeks to qualify for a spot in a 95-70 game knockout tournament. Now, how did we get here, Dub Nation? How did we get here? Are you okay with the comments? I'll replay the comments once again for our new audience here at the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to get to Richie Rich, Rob, Raj. Everybody's going to get out here in just a second. But here's Steve Kerr yesterday with Willard and Dibbs on this unique position for the franchise.
You know, we're just in a really unique spot, through no one's fault, by the way. This is just the reality of sports and life and, you know, whatever. It's just had this amazing run, and we're at the tail end of it, and we're trying to hang on to it. It's a young man's game. We know that, you know, and we were that team 10 years ago. We were Oklahoma City, you know, we were Houston. We were just on the rise. And so, no, you know, here we are, and we're on the decline. We know that. Steph and Draymond and I have talked about it. You know, together, it would be so irresponsible for this franchise to trade everything away for one, you know, one final swing at a title.
So, Dub Nation, what do you make of those comments, plus this one right here from Kerr about not pushing all your chips in?
This does not feel like a time, in my estimation, I think, in Mike's and Steph's and Draymond's, where you just push all the chips in the middle and take a wild swing. That would be so irresponsible. So we're aware of that, but what does that mean? It means we are where we are. We're in the middle of the pack with a bunch of teams that are either good enough or not good enough, and we have to find out if we are. And by good enough, that means, you know, can you climb your way into the playoffs and give yourself a chance? And that's what we're trying to do.
So do you believe this team can work themselves out of a hole with Kuminga coming back in a week or two? GP2's back today. Do you believe this team could work themselves back? And is it the right tactic to maybe stand pat and recognize that, hey, you're not championship contenders, and maybe it would be reckless to make a move? Where do you stand with this, Dub Nation, after listening to those quotes from Steve Kerr, who, of course, joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday right here at 95.7 The Game?
I just don't understand, like, what changed?
Yeah.
Sudden
change?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't understand. I just don't get it. Like,
They all said something to back-to-back days.
Like, think about,
like,
think
Draymond,
about,
like, Steph, and then Kerr. It all happened. Boom, boom, boom.
Think about what he was saying about Kuminga at a podium 2 months ago. And him yelling at Pajemski just a couple months ago. I mean, he showed more fight toward them than at any point I've ever seen pushback on Draymond. And quite frankly, it's ridiculous. I mean, like, this is ridiculous. This is what ends up happening, though, when you feel a sense of indebtedment you feel indebted to an individual. You almost can't critique them. And you, instead of being the coach and having some authority over someone, you're collaborating with them and you're afraid to critique. And you see this in lots of industries. You do. This is not unique to the NBA. And I understand, but at the same time, Tom Brady, even though him and Belichick had a falling out, part of what made that work for as long as it did was that Belichick could push and critique and coach and yell at Tom Brady. And when you allow someone, I really truly believe the handling of Draymond needs to be studied, and I think it's the number one thing. Just the handling of Draymond throughout the last 6 or 7 years is the number one thing that got us to where we are. That's how I feel. Not that Draymond wasn't important. Not that Draymond didn't help them win. Not that they win without Draymond.
Why do you think that, the number one thing, Draymond? I want you to explain.
I think that this organization has enabled him and has bent over backwards to make him feel empowered while never punishing him. And I think it has created a culture of toxicity. I think it's created a culture of, we can do whatever we want at the top, and all you at the bottom don't matter as much as us. Mm-hmm. And the greatest teams, there's a togetherness.
Yep.
There's a unity. There is a chemistry. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be kumbaya. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I believe in creative tension. I believe in guys getting in guys' faces every now and then. But I do believe at times when one player is allowed to do just about anything he wants, and anyone who steps in this guy's way at any moment could be cast away and literally will staple draft picks to get rid of you, even if you're important, man, that sends a message.
Well, I would say this. Couple years ago, when the incident happened between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, and we went into that year, and all season long, it just felt like it was the veterans and it was the youngsters. There's two different teams on one team. So to your point about having togetherness and chemistry, it felt like, hey, Kuminga, Wiggins, Poole, and Moody, you're over here to the side. You guys figure it out. I got Draymond. I have, you know, Steph and Clay and Wiggins. Now, Poole was oscillating because Poole would be in a lot of finishing lineups. But the youngsters are like, boy, our guy just got, you know, what's going on around here? What's going on? Do we have leeway to maybe make a mistake or two? Because it's ironic this year when you talk to a couple coaches, and I was, you know, I try to make my pregame rounds, and they're like, you know, the veterans got to do a better job at crunch time. It's the veterans. And we thought, I think back to 2 years ago, you and I were discussing this. Wait a minute, the youngsters didn't score 2 points in the final 5 minutes in South Beach, Miami. They didn't blow the 18-point lead in Orlando. Now, they may have given up some momentum, but come on, the veterans are playing down the stretch. You know, you look at all those games where the youngsters had nothing to do with the final 6-5 minutes because they weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we still blame the youngsters as collectively.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, we blame them. Not us, but... but a lot of people were like, yeah, the youngsters are not ready to hold things back. Trade these guys, trade these guys, trade these guys. When everybody said these guys can extend their careers, and now a lot of people say, well, two timelines don't work. I beg to differ. Forget the Celtics of the 80s when they tried it with Lynn Bias and Reggie Lewis. Just look at last decade with Coach Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. They went to back-to-back NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard, Danny Gray, Patty Mills, Thiago Splitter, they're all babies. They were babies, but they had their roles, right? They were able to play in big games. And Popovich was like, you know what? I'm going to roll with these guys. And by that next season, they ended LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh and that Miami Heat team by smoking them in the NBA Finals. And think about Danny Green knocking down all those threes. I think he had a finals record for most made threes at one point in the 7-game final series. Kawhi Leonard became a superstar. They empowered him. They worked on his shot. They let him play through his struggles offensively, and they empowered his strengths. You're going to be a lockdown defender. Well, LeBron James is in the game. You're going to be in the game, and you're going to guard LBJ. And you're going to annoy the living crap out of him for 48 minutes. So don't tell me that the two-timeline thing can't work, because we saw it with San Antonio a decade ago. But it's the way you empower the youngsters. And I think coaching-wise, for whatever, and I get it with Steve, you got to win games. You're going to go down with your trusted vets, the guys who've won you championships, who've won you some of the biggest games of your career. I understand that wholeheartedly. But at the same time, we shouldn't be in year four discussing whether or not Moses Moody is a good player and whether or not Jonathan Kuminga can help you in the future. We're in year four in his tenure. And Wiseman's already been cast off. Poole's already been cast off. You cast off plenty of others. This is where we're at now. And so I think the mishandling, like this two timeline thing, could have worked. But we didn't have the patience to see it work. And now we're here.
You know, it's really well said. It's so funny, whenever you bring up Draymond, right, and I talk about Draymond, I'll always get the they don't win anything without him. Well, yeah. But, like, was Dennis Rodman, as a Laker, the same Dennis Rodman as Dennis Rodman year one and year two with the Bulls?
No.
Okay?
No.
Lincecum is one of my favorite players of all time. 2010 Lincecum is unreal. By, like, 2016, 2017, is he the same Lincecum?
Nope.
No. And so sports, you have to pivot off of players. I had a tolerance for Charles Haley when he was one of the greatest sack masters in the game. When he was long in the tooth and it was 1999, Yeah, I didn't have a lot of tolerance for his shenanigans if I'm running a team.
Right.
And that's the way I view Draymond. Yeah, I know. In 2015, he was awesome. I would say he was awesome at times, you know, even in 2021 and 2022. But everything comes to an end, and your tolerance level for an individual has to be adjusted based off what they're contributing to the floor.
Right.
And I feel like the juice wasn't worth the squeeze the last couple of years, and they held on too long.
Well, you know
it's
what?
Pretty obvious to see to me.
Well, you know what?
Think about Antonio Brown before I go. Yeah. Think about Antonio Brown. The Steelers had a lot of tolerance
right.
when Antonio Brown was an all-pro wide receiver.
Right.
Once he stopped going to all-pros, okay, boy, the Tampa Bay Bucks couldn't wait to get rid of him.
And
right?
He walked off the field.
This is sports. I don't know. Just
well, this is from a basketball sense. Because it started in the Sacramento series. When we win that series, and we talked about the two big lineup, and everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about, Monte? And I say, look, in this series against Sacramento, and it gets up and down. Looney and Draymond, you got to pick a lane.
Yeah.
You got to go one big, and you got to match their speed and athleticism. And you got to get up and down. And they went two big lineup, and they lost the first two games of that series, and Draymond got popped for game three. Now, game three, they go into that one with the one big lineup, Kevon Looney, and they went Poole, Wiggins, Clay, and Steph. And boy, they were rolling. And Draymond came back for game four. If you know he dropped a triple-double, he was coming off the bench with that. And then you play the L.A. Lakers, and the two big lineups, mm-hmm. when you have non-shooting, look where Anthony Davis was camped out at. So my position is, as a just pure basketball, I understand what Draymond Green does defensively. I understand what he does in a half court. But Anthony Davis is camping out under the rim, daring you to shoot. And you're not in a triple threat position. If you notice in today's game, you go look at the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at Oklahoma City. You go look at Denver. You go look at Dallas. You go look at Cleveland. They have balance and they have triple threat players on every given. Anybody on that team in that lineup, they're running with combinations where at least you have four threats offensively. We watched the Warriors led by Draymond Green and then you get GP2. You got a lot of specialists here. That's not going to win you a lot of basketball games today. So just from the basketball sense, I thought you had a chance to move off stylistically and adjust your style and move on to the future. And maybe that future was with Kuminga, Poole, Curry, Wiggins, Clay. I have no idea. But that style of play, where you are running your two-man game with Stephen Curry, but you have to be a threat offensively. And too many times, night in and night out, Draymond Green's not a threat offensively. And that hurts your half-court offense, and it kills your spacing.
What was the game the other night where I lost my mind? Draymond's in the corner.
Last minute of the game.
He's in the corner.
He was wide open.
He's wide open. And, of course, the ball's going to go to you because you're wide open. He doesn't even look at the hoop.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he goes to fire it back to somebody else, and it gets picked off because the other team knows he's so afraid to shoot late in games.
Yep.
I would love to just see the raw attempts from beyond the key in the fourth quarter.
Oh, it's down.
In terms of like the breakdown between first, second, third, and fourth quarter.
I tracked this last year.
Okay, have you tracked it?
Yeah, last year he was like, it's It's night and day. It's night and day.
It's just, and no one is saying that he doesn't have usefulness. There is a usefulness to him, but to say that he's allowed the same equity and the same minutes and all this, like, you wouldn't do this in any other type of sport where this guy's getting long in the tooth. Let's use him the exact same way we've used him for the last decade. Like, nah, it needs to be adjusted.
It does.
Especially when you have other younger players who you can adjust to, who bring a little more to the table on both ends of the floor.
Well, if the youngsters were empowered, maybe Draymond Green is playing the Iguodala role. Maybe he is playing the Livingston role at this point. And maybe he's not getting $100 million. But here's the problem I think a lot of fans have is that, look, Jordan Poole is a very popular player right here. Many people don't believe that. I was at Chase Center every day. The second biggest pop in that stadium was with Jordan Poole whenever he did something. There was a pool party. Literally wearing sunscreen at the demo at NBC Sports Bay Area, wearing floaties with Grant Liffman. So how about it's a pool party? We couldn't get enough of Jordan Poole. We couldn't get enough of him. And that situation happened in training camp. And it doesn't look right. Obviously, those guys couldn't share a locker room anymore. It was obvious. They're not going to get along. And could you blame them? That's Draymond still talking about, like, damn, I screwed that up. Yeah. Yeah, it got screwed up. But you empowered him by extending him and knowing where the league was going. It doesn't feel like the brightest move. Now, you could pivot off of that at some point here, and we'll see if that happens. But it just leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth.
Well, I think one of the most underreported, underdiscussed, underspeculated dynamics isn't even Draymond and the youngsters. I think it's Draymond and Clay. Mm. And what I mean with that is, like, what Draymond and how he's viewed in the organization and how that's evolved over time, or how little it's evolved over time, versus how Clay's relationship on his own team, his role, his worth to the organization, how that evolved over time, and then their dynamic amongst each other, and then just your normal, not jealousy, but like, hey, we did this together. Why is he being viewed this way and right. I'm being viewed this way? Why is he allowed to do this? Why am I not allowed to do that? Why are you giving him these things financially, organizationally, and why am I being shortchanged? Well, why am I being treated different from someone that I believe is my equal?
So now,
or then maybe I'm better. I don't know. Now, but like, I just think that dynamic, the Dre Clay dynamic, is very under speculated.
Well, this is I tried to spit this last season. All it wasn't about the year, the money. I banged the table every single day on the show saying, everybody saying, well, he's getting 2 for $48, $24 million. It wasn't about the money. It was the years. It was like, wait a minute, okay. Took care of Wiggins, took care of Poole. And it kind of comes to a form of Papa Guachi, but Klay Thompson's coming in saying, man, I just led the league in threes. And now if you want to pit both of them together, Draymond and Klay Thompson. Draymond's coming off a season in which we know what happened.
Yes.
With Jordan Poole. Klay's coming off a season where, despite guys being hurt, we forget Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson helped stabilize that season in early January when guys are out. Klay had the 54-point game, and Poole was finding his game, and they were working well together. And the rumors started that Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson can't stand Jordan Poole. Klay Thompson loved Jordan Poole to the point where Klay Thompson's older brother, Michael Thompson, worked out Jordan Poole before every game.
Yeah.
You think if Klay Thompson hated Jordan Poole, that Michael Thompson would be warming up Jordan Poole before games?
Probably not.
Probably not. And people didn't want to listen to that. It was about the years. It was like, wait a minute, if you say you're loyal to the core and keeping everybody here, then why am I only getting a 2-year extension? And I'm getting less money than Draymond Green when I'm getting buckets. This league is about getting buckets. So that whole dynamic there with Clay and everything, that was the most underreported thing where it's like, it's about the years, dude. He wanted the respect of the years.
What I always found fascinating is like, we spent, and I'm not you and me, but even though I would bring up some of it, but like, I think the bulk of the fan base we heard from wanted to discuss the psyche of Klay Thompson. And yet we like, but that's just Dre being Dre. It's like, wait a minute. If we're going to start doing the psyche thing, let's do the psyche thing across the board. Because there's a lot of psychosis going on.
No. Let's go to the
call. And I just could put it out there.
No doubt.
You get where I'm going?
Yeah, no, I understand. Dr. Phil 100%. In here. 100%. Let's go to Raj in Santa Rosa.
Hey,
then we're
going
to get everybody. Raj, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, morning, guys.
What's up, Raj?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say what I feel about those comments from the Warriors, Steve, and the guys. is it's very disheartening, and I don't like it. My take kind of relates to last month being reported NBA ratings are down, and this makes me not want to watch the Warriors. Like, I don't want to, I can't watch a game if the players don't care and the coaching staff don't care. And to sound like they're giving up, just, it makes me not interested. Wow. Long story short, I've always been a diehard NBA fan, not just Warriors fan, NBA fan. Like, every week I watch all the games on TV, even if it's not the Warriors. My first NBA game I went and saw was the Kings versus the Nuggets at Arco Arena with Mutombo versus Mitch Richmond and Spud Webb and Bobby Hurley. I love basketball. I wanted to be a basketball player growing up, but I'm only 5'6". so to hear stuff like that, it just makes me not care about watching basketball anymore, because the truth is, besides the Warriors, the NBA product is, even for me, I love basketball, but even for me, it's been starting to push my limits on if I can enjoy it anymore. Wow. And so to hear that last night, or over the past couple days, hear these comments, I don't know if I'm going to tune in anymore. And wow. I actually haven't been watching other games besides Warrior games since like a week or two before Thanksgiving.
Damn. Is that how you feel, Dub Nation? Are you tuning out now after hearing those comments? Are you checked out? Let's go to Richie and Livermore.
We're definitely going to separate
the real from the fake
adults
ones.
From the children, yeah, when it comes to your tolerance level for versus, not great basketball.
Like I've said, we're going to find out who the real fans are.
I remember
we're going to find out.
One of my early calls when Damon first got into the market, Damon Bruce, was a post game show with me destroying Mike Dunleavy. The one who's the GM now, right, about him just not shooting. And he just was so gun-shy. Like, and it would be the same three callers on that post-game show every single night. That's where we were. We might be going back.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Here and do a sugarcoat job.
Going back to the Stone Age.
Boy, like Yogi Berra said.
Now suiting up. Yogi Fred Bear, Flintstone.
Yogi Berra said it. Hey, it gets late early out there. Let's call to Richie.
What's up,
Rich?
Richie Rich?
What's up, baby?
What's up, my guys, this morning, man? Top of the morning, fellas. Man, I got a few things on this, man. Just let me speak for a minute, man. Like, first of all, you know, the comment I take it is it's reality of life, man. We're seeing what happens in life and sports in general. You start to age. It's like the NFL. Nothing lasts forever, right? And I think this is what we're seeing now is what the organization has failed for the last 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, I think we should have made changes way earlier and now it's too late. There ain't a move we could make that's going to take them over the top. I mean, why get rid of everything when to be an 8 seed? It ain't worth it, right? Like, you should have got rid of Draymond when the pool thing happened, when you knew that the Anthony Edwards were coming in balling, when you knew that the SGAs were coming in balling. You already knew this. And you chose to ride with Draymond and old, ain't nothing we could do really to make this better, right? And the way I look at these comments, and, you know, this is what's going to separate these real fans from these fake-ass fans, right? I'm 41 years old, right? We're probably about the same age, guys. I've been watching the Warriors since we were bums, all right? Be grateful we had a run that was amazing. I got I got to take my kids to you know, NBA Finals, championship games. The reality of it is that it's over. You know, it ain't at the back end curve. It's over, right? And this is what I'm going to leave on this note, fellas, right? And this is what is a concern and a big thought, is that the way Curry talks and the attitude that I've seen, you recall he did say a few months back, hey, I don't want to be a bottom feeder, right? And we gave him his money. And he's proved more than enough to the Bay Area, to basketball. He's changed basketball. He's got every kid thinking you can shoot a three-pointer from freaking 100 yards behind the arc and you're going to make it. He's changed the game. He has changed the game. He's done everything he has to give to the Bay, outside the court, on the court. And my only concern is that we're seeing the end of the Warriors. I almost feel like this is going to be the year where the offseason, you're not going to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, Curry may say, hey, you know what? He's still balling. So he can add so much value to a contender and take him over the top where he can get that ring. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it happening here. He's working so hard right now. They're doubling him. They're hitting him. I mean, dude's grinding to get the points he's grinding. And you look at the rest of the roster, ain't no one doing it.
No.
You ain't getting the production from nobody else, no. man. And it's hard for him. You know what I'm saying? So I won't be mad if it happens. And I'll end on this note. We've been spoiled so much in the Bay Area in general with the Giants era of winning, with the Niners of winning, and the Warriors that, you know what, guys? All good things come to an end, fellas. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I wouldn't be mad.
You yeah. know, when the Giants, when they lost to the Cubs in 2016, I was working with Marty Leary a lot and doing a lot of those post-game shows and running those games. And I remember thinking, like, okay, they're a closer away. They're a closer yeah. away. They're going to be fine.
Matt Duffy. They
signed Mark Millett, and right away they're like, oh, he doesn't like stretching with the team. He goes up, he blows a game in Arizona, and the rest is history. And it came crashing down. And it was like, oh, this is over. This is over. We're watching that game against Toronto, and I'm looking at these lineups, and I'm looking at everything, and I'm like, oh, gosh. Is reality setting in? Is this over? Is the swan song our all-star game? The all-star game happened in the Bay Area? Because this is what I was afraid of, Shasky. You know this. We're going to get to the all-star break, and every national writer, guess what they're going to pepper Steph Curry with? Do you still want to end your career with the Warriors? Can you guys make a move? Are you disappointed? Like, every imaginable question about the future of the Warriors, he's going to get pepper sprayed with.
This is going to sound unpopular or like I'm like non-empathetic.
No, I'm not saying
but I'm going to say this. Yeah. Like, you can't control that as a Warrior fan.
No, you can't.
Honestly, that should not. How do I put this?
What I was going
to
say.
Desperation should not inspire you to do something wild.
No.
It should be sound business decisions.
But what I was afraid of going into the season was that we would get to this point.
Oh, we're here.
And the team will be, you know, back
we're
and
here.
Forth, out of the box. And we're here now. And I was afraid that we're going to get to this point that now we're going to, Steph's not going to be able to enjoy the All-Star game. He'll be fine, and we'll have all the festivities or whatnot. But it's going to be a microcosm of everybody outside of this bubble is going to say, well, what do you guys do now? Who's to blame for this? Who are we pointing the finger at?
But I don't think this is the part where I think Richie Rich nailed it. And you're right. Those will be the talking points. And here's my rebuttal. Outside of LeBron, name another contemporary who played during the Curry era who went to six finals.
Yeah.
Name another contemporary.
No doubt.
Who won four championships.
No doubt.
James Harden would die to have half the accomplishments that Curry had as a team. Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul, Kevin Durant. Like, yeah. Go right down the list. Right now, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're a great combination. If they get to six finals, wouldn't that be just shocking? Why does everything have to be seen as this utter failure at the yeah. end when the reality is, to me,
no doubt.
It's one of the most remarkable things that's ever been accomplished.
But the fact that we're going into a second half of the season to where we may see people start flexing the Warriors off their primetime slots.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's not great.
But, you know, that's a thing.
But it's part of where they're at.
It's where they're at. But we could be looking at the last 2 months saying, are they really playing meaningful basketball or are they playing meaningless basketball? And then you got the whole conundrum with Dante Kuminga. What do you do with him? Where's his price point at when it comes to the contract?
This is going
to
sound, like, again, unpopular. I'd be really disappointed if Curry hit the parachute button. I would.
I don't think he is.
I know, but I'm going to be right. real with you. Like, I love Curry. It's not like I'm going to hate him. I mean, he's one of my favorite athletes of all time. But I would be disappointed. I would. For a variety of reasons. It's not like he hasn't been in on a lot of these decisions.
Right.
It's not like, and I'm not saying he's the, you know, the LeBron architect, because I was listening to Willard, like, I don't want him to be a narcissist, and I got what he was going at.
Yeah.
But I do think he has influence.
Yeah.
Can we agree? There's,
no doubt.
There's influence, right, with Steph Curry. But, like, I'd be really disappointed if he hit the parachute button.
Right.
This region, this team, this
no,
ownership
I don't
think
group, he is.
They've done a lot for him. There are a lot of other, and again, I would put out a spreadsheet to him like, hey, dog,
Look at some of these other guys that have been bouncing around the league, and you tell me if you haven't had it better than them over the last decade.
You know, Raj just said it, Rosa. He mentioned as a text line mentioned, snitch on the, I'm an NBA fan who watches all the games, but I'm not going to keep watching because the Dubs are falling off. You're going to get a lot of fans like that. You're
going
to get a lot of fans who are like, yeah, I'm checked out of the Warriors. Monte, sorry, I don't want. I'm already hearing it. Yeah, I had to tune out of the postgame show. I couldn't stomach it. And I get it. I understand it. Trust me. We have to sit there for an hour and dissect the game. And dissect it and break down how they lost over and over.
Plus, it makes you angry.
Monte, you're doing great.
When I watch and they lose the way they do, it makes me angry.
Right.
Like, I'm like, nah.
Well, I sit there before the show. Like, before we go on the postgame, I'm like, oh, my God, they're about to lose this game. Oh, my God, they're about to lose to the Raptors. Oh, my God, it's actually happening. They're losing to the Raptors, and you knew it was a possibility. So then expect the unexpected. They may go out and beat Minnesota tonight. Who the hell knows? Because Minnesota's been inconsistent. Who the hell knows?
Is Julius Randle healthy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I want him to hit his first three or four shots.
Yeah,
that's what I want to have happen.
Let's go to Rob and San Bruno. Rob, what's up? And then we'll get to Ryan and San Lorenzo on the, right after Rob.
Hey, Rob.
What's going on? Good morning, fellas. Good
morning.
Yo, look, man, I blame two people, and it's really one person in the fan base. I blame the Golden State fan base, not the real OGs, but the old Laker fans, and I blame Draymond Green. I'm going to tell you why. You essentially traded 20 points from a pool, let Clay go for it. That's another 20. You let Wiseman go for another 10 to 15 points a game. He can give you with just dunks. And then the big one, you chose Kevin Durant, a 30-point scorer, over Draymond over Kevin Durant. I don't know, my math ain't right, but what's that, about 100 points? You didn't gave up for a guy who averaged about 8 points a game. You know what I'm saying? And then another thing, when Mark Jackson said, I got the best shooting backcourt in history, you know why he said that, right? It was two players. It wasn't just one. If Klay Thompson never got here and Steph was still shooting threes, teams not worried about that. It was having two guys that both can work off the ball. Then you had Iggy who can pass. You had Livingston who can pass. You had Bogey who can pass. You don't have that. You don't have that skill set no more. So you try and play a style that don't even work. It's not. It may work for Steph. Mm-hmm. Steph putting up hollow numbers. Same thing with Bron. Yeah, he putting up numbers, but are they winning? Or it's Kevin Durant. Are they winning? It's time for the OGs to go and let the young fellas do what they need to do. That's why the league is so boring right now, because we're still promoting LeBron James. I've been 14. Right. I'm done with that. We still promoting Kevin Durant. We still going all these old men. Let the youngsters have their shine. Let Zion get right.
Hey, Rob.
That ain't the future.
By the way, it is the future, because Phoenix lost to Atlanta yesterday. The Lakers continued to lose. They lost to the Spurs the other night by 24. The torch has been passed. This is a young man's game. We see this coming, Rob. We see this coming a few years ago when OKC was on the rise. Remember, I was like, league pass, Bonte was birthed. Because I was like, dude, we got to figure this out. Because these young teams are going to be around in 3 years.
Rob, are you still on the hold?
Still on the line.
Okay. Did you ever watch any of these, like, multiverses or anything like that when it comes to, like, Marvel and just sci-fi in general?
I'm not a sci-fi type brother, man.
Oh, well, I am. But, like, I'll never forget doing the show with Covey or whoever it was. I think Spadoni was on me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was the only one. We took call after call. I said, guys, it was immediately after the Draymond KD spat. I was like, I'm trading Draymond yesterday. Like, what are we doing? Like, you have to do everything you can to tell Kevin Durant that this is the place where we are going to protect you at all costs. And it was like, Draymond did what he had to do. If we could go back in time and I asked people today what I was asking them then that night I was taking all those calls, boy, I'd love to see how everyone changes up.
And then one more thing. Look, I'm just going to put it out there. You have never seen no evidence to say Steph Curry and the Warriors can win a playoff game, even get to the playoff game without Klay Thompson on the floor. When have they done that?
They haven't.
They haven't. So you took away the biggest piece outside of Curry to the puzzle. He's the whole – Klay and Steph is the offense. They're not worried about Draymond. Draymond was getting an assist because you had Klay out there. You had to double them. Then you brought Kevin Durant in, which made it so easy. So and then the fans – the fans was hating on Kevin Durant because he was getting too many isolations.
Don't even start with me with that. Hey, Rob, what people underrated about Klay was just the spacing that he would provide for being a lethal shooter that he is.
And Clay will pull up in the town like it's nothing. He was a real Bay Area type of dude, and we let that dude go. He loved the Bay Area. He didn't cause no problems, but you kept the dude who gave you bad headlines. I don't understand it. Well, but to me, it is what it is. The Golden State reaping what they sow. Like I said, Steph Curry, Clay Thompson, and Iggy and the rest of them boys, you know, they had we went to a lot of parties. We, you know, we celebrated a lot. Yep. We had a good time. So I'm appreciative.
Me too.
Like, one more thing. Hey, look, it's back to the early 2000s. Kings coming up, Warriors back to being below mid, and I like that my fans was in there, like the Bean. That's how I used to be in early 2000 before Lakers fans came on.
That drove me crazy. Trust me, Rob, that drove me crazy. Watch the Sacramento. At least they got their butts kicked last night in Milwaukee, but they're playing better.
Warrior fans, we should just get Tyler Miller to go out to Thrive City and just light the blunt.
Well, that's what he does.
You know what I mean? Anyway. Forget light the beam. Light the blunt.
You don't need to tell him to do that. He does that anyway.
Torch the Garcia Vega or whatever the hell he's smoking these days.
The Kevin Durant situation. That old situation. Okay, you let KD walks. He goes to Brooklyn. Here's where I thought things got a little complicated, and I was a little confused by this. It was a random Saturday in August. The big wave of free agency had kind of come and gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody signed, all signed the trades. It's Tiny and JD are on doing their NBA This Week show on this Saturday.
Oh.
And I'm dropping off
that
flowers.
That must have been a happy show.
No, it was. They were happy. They were rolling. I was excited to see Tapped In. I liked their basketball show together. I really did.
Give me a break,
I did like their basketball show together. It was very insightful. They were good on that show. So I'm dropping flowers off, working for McAvoy O'Hara Mortuary. Dropping some flowers off to a cemetery. Cypress, and I'll never forget where I was.
Okay.
I'm driving a big white van.
Mm.
And Steiny or Jay, I forget which one, Brooks Hope. Breaking news. Jeremiah Green has signed an extension with the Golden State Warriors. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. Because you know how I am in contract years. I like to have a player in the contract year. Yeah. You're either going to get the best of them, or they're going to blow some money.
I know, you're a big Blake Snell guy.
I love contract years. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell? And I thought to myself, okay, there's going to be no KD, there's going to be no Clay. You re-sign Draymond. How about just wait on the Draymond contract? Okay, you love Draymond, you'll probably re-sign him anyway, but could you wait? Because what happened during that year doesn't sit well with a lot of fans. I covered a lot of those games. Draymond admitted after the season, I knew we were going to do a lot of losing. It was tough to get up for games, and I didn't play my best. And I don't know if I played my heart. Like, the quotes are there. Maybe we can find the quotes when Draymond agrees. And I thought to myself, as one of the core guys, who's a three-time champ, the leadership not displayed there, it did kind of bother me. It bothered me a little bit, sticking to myself. Boy, I get it. No Steph, no Clay, KD's gone. But at least get your game right. Shoot 10 threes a game because you know Steph and Clay. And now you got Andrew Wiggins. They're all on the roster. Guess who they're going to leave open? They're going to leave you open. You can just get your game right. Shoot 10 threes a game. Forget the percentages. Just get your shot rolling. So when the guys get back, you can be a threat for the three-point shot. And instead, that season was mailed in. And that point, I'm thinking to myself, damn, like, really? Really? That's where we're going? So I think that was the mistake.
Let alone
the whole KD situation where we could get to that if we want to real quick.
There's like the David West was alluding to it the year prior.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so
the Warriors 30 for 30.
It's always funny to me. And you know, here's another like underreported. Anytime somebody on the team was up for a contract extension, Dre knew, hey, there's only so much money to go around here, and you and me are both coming up on a contract extension. Let me make you the enemy.
Boy. I don't know.
Just go through the list.
I don't know if it's that diabolical, but there's some breadcrumbs
there. There's some coincidence.
There's some breadcrumbs there. Ryan, real quick,
I miss the old Clay, too. That was one thing Rob said. Old Clay was so great.
Ryan, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, morning, guys. A lot of topics you guys have been touching this morning. Reading between the lines of what Kerr and the team has been saying the last couple days, I agree. I don't think they should be trying to flip everybody or lose all their assets for the future. But I do think they need to do something. I think it was Shasky that's been saying the last couple of days, you know, right now, if they don't do anything, they have no plan. They don't have a goal. There's nothing. You can't just stay stagnant as we are right now. We're not going to go anywhere. We have to do a move. So trying to read between the lines, I'm hoping that they do something. And I think that, you know, we got to find a guy that is tall, athletic, long, on a team that, you know, is in a losing situation and willing to trade. And there's been a lot of talks about Zion, and I don't think Zion would be a good fit. He's unhealthy. He doesn't take care of himself. He doesn't have a killer instinct or a drive that he's shown, at least, that's consistent. But I think his teammate, Brandon Ingram, would be a perfect fit, and he'd be like, you know, a mini KD with us. I personally think he can pull up. He can get you a bucket. We haven't had a guy that could just pull up and get you a bucket when you really, really need one since KD, even if you want to go back and half joking, but Mo Spates, you know, Livingston.
No, I love that. Yeah, I love that.
888-957-9570. What do you want to see the Warriors do? We'll play the Steve Kerr sound. Steph Curry, the Warriors, they don't want to mortgage a future. They don't want to leave this franchise in a bad spot. But do you like the messaging? Do you feel like it's a white flag moment? Do you have more faith that the Warriors can turn this around? 888-957-9570. We'll continue to talk about the Dubs, plus Anthony Slater at 8:30 here on the Morning Roast. But first, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Who's going to be on the court for the Warriors tonight as they try to end their latest losing streak? Gary Payton II could be back tonight after missing the last 10 games with the calf strain. He is listed as probable for tonight's contest. Draymond Green and Kyle Anderson are questionable, while Brandon Pajemski remains out with an abdominal injury. We'll get to the specifics about these injuries coming up here on the Morning Roast, as the injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll continue to roll on Dubs, 888-957-9570. Where do you stand with this organization? Do you want them to make a move? Are you on board with Steve Kerr's comments and Draymond's comments? This is Steph Curry's comments. I want to hear from Dub Nation and all the Roasters. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll do that coming up on the other side. Again, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
I like my Warriors.